Sunday, February the 23rd.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
This is our last Sunday in Feasting February, because next Sunday it will be March. That's right, well done. And in Feasting February, we tend to dig into a number of disciplines or practices or rhythms or habits that as a Christian community we embrace in order that we might grow deeper in our faith, in order that we might flourish more in our living. So that's the journey of Feasting February. And over this last month, we've looked at, what did we look at on the first week? Prayer, thank you very much. The second week? Third week? God's Word, journaling, yeah. And this week, you don't know yet, because that's what we're about to do. Other years, we've thought about hospitality, which we looked at in January a little bit, talk about the Sabbath. So some of the things, the rhythms, the habits that make up our ordinary, everyday Christian life, in order that we might go deeper into Jesus, in order that we might grow and become more fruitful for Him. Today, I want us to think about what it means to feast on His presence. So there's a synergy with where we began the month in prayer, when Joel talked to us about the psalm prayers, and then the floating and canoeing prayers. Remember all that? Floating and canoeing away. And we're going to pick up a little bit of that idea and something of what we were thinking about last week, being rooted in God's Word, and bring those two things together a little bit to think about how we can become more habitual, more rhythmic, more disciplined, if you like, in feasting in God's presence. What we know for sure is that everybody who encountered the presence of Jesus was in some way changed by it. We know that those people that encountered Jesus had a kind of choice, if you like. They could be changed in a positive way by His presence, or they could be pushed away, changed in a negative way by rejecting His presence. But the Bible doesn't tend to leave people in a posture of being indifferent about the presence of Jesus. And the story that Jonathan read to us some moments ago, Luke chapter 19, if you've still got it open in front of you, the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He was hated for several reasons. He was hated probably because he was wealthy, but more importantly, he was hated because his wealth was gained by stealing from the people in order to pay for or pay taxes to the oppressors. So not only was he a thief, he was also a traitor. So that's the first problem with Zacchaeus. The second problem would have been jealousy because of his wealth. And the third problem that Zacchaeus faced, which was an almost insurmountable problem, was that he was short. Good job I've got a strong sense of my own identity. Because he was hated, because he was jealous, because he was short, he felt like he was on the outside. He felt like he didn't fit in. He quite literally stood on the outside of the crowd, not only because he couldn't join in to see the view because he was short, but because he was hated and he knew he wasn't welcomed and he was kept on the outside because he didn't fit. Such a sharp contrast with what happens next. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, He had to look up, not because Zacchaeus was tall, but because Zacchaeus by now was where? Up a tree. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." I want you to imagine this scene as Jesus was walking along. There's lots of people, there's crowds pushing and shoving. It's a bit like that other story in the Gospels when the woman with the issue of blood reaches out and touches his cloak and everyone says, "That's ridiculous. How do you know that someone touched you?" Everyone's pushing and jostling, the noise of the crowd. And in the midst of that noisy scene, as they're making their way through Jericho, Jesus stops. And if it was a cinema, an animation, it would be like everything went still for a moment. Jesus stopped and so did everybody, and suddenly it all went quiet. And Jesus looked up and he called Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his name. That's kind of weird for Zacchaeus, don't you think? He's a nobody. He's on the outside. And Jesus is visiting Jericho, maybe for the first time. And he sees this weird short guy up a tree and he knows his name. However much Jesus was a stranger to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was no stranger to Jesus. This guy who'd always been on the outside, who hadn't been accepted, who didn't fit in, who wasn't part of the crowd, Jesus knew his name. Jesus knows your name. And the word Zacchaeus means purity. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? It's one of the nods and the winks of Scripture, that the thing that's under the thing. When Jesus calls Zacchaeus from the tree, he calls him not by who he is, but by who he truly will be. He wasn't pure. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't straight. He wasn't transparent. But his name meant those things, and Jesus calls him out of the tree to embrace his true identity. Notice what happens next. "I must come to your house." Jesus urgently desires to meet with you. You might think that you have some sense of synergy, connection with Zacchaeus. There are times when you felt like, "Do you know what? I don't feel like I fit in. I feel like I'm on the outside. I feel like I'm not the same as everybody else. Somehow I'm less than. I can't even see over the crowd." And yet Jesus, of all the people there, points to this guy who had placed himself by his behavior, his actions, and his internal identity, had placed himself on the outside and says, "Zacchaeus, I'm calling you down because you're not on the outside. You, my friend, are on the inside. I must come and meet with you." Jesus stops for us and wants to come to know us. Jesus wants to call those who are on the outside of the crowd to become on the inside. And then Jesus says, "I'm going to come to your house." How would you have felt if suddenly you met Jesus in town this afternoon and he said, "I'm coming to your house"? Oops. Describe to the person next to you the thing about your house that would most worry you if Jesus was going to call this afternoon. Off you go. Maybe some of us would be busy getting the Bible back on the coffee table, making sure the candle was on the windowsill. Not a brand new candle. It needed to look like it was being used. Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house." The thing about coming to your house is that it's a little bit more personal. It's a little bit more vulnerable than meeting somewhere else. It's harder to hide yourself when you're in your own home, in your own space. Jesus says, I'm coming over to your side. And that panic that maybe would rise in our hearts might have risen in Zacchaeus' heart. But Zacchaeus is beginning to understand something. Even though he thinks he's on the outside, this Jesus guy is pointing him out in the crowd. Even though he thinks he's made a mess of his life, Jesus is calling out his true identity about being righteous and pure. Even though he feels like he'll never fit in, Jesus is saying, actually, I want to be with you and spend some time with you today. And suddenly the panic turns maybe as he begins to understand what's going on in the journey that Jesus already knows. Jesus already knows. There is a sense of peace, contentment, reassurance that Jesus already knows. So there's nothing about what we do in our lives, in our home, that escapes his attention. And so when he called Zacchaeus from the tree, he called Zacchaeus in the full knowledge of who he is. And we live sometimes with this fear that maybe one day, just like we fear other people, they'll understand what I'm really like. And when Jesus understands what I'm really like, he won't come to my house. Jesus knew what Zacchaeus was like. That's why he called him out of the tree. That's why he called him by name. And still he said, I'm coming to your house today. And we know that in that encounter, Zacchaeus was changed. He went from grabbing to giving. He went from for me, for us. He went from not my life, but this community. He went from, I don't know who I am, I don't like who I am, to finding his place in God's kingdom and in God's purpose. So how do we encounter Jesus? So Feasting February is all about us actually doing stuff together. So we're going to do something together. We're going to journey into the story of Zacchaeus. And we're going to meet Jesus in that story. Now, if I was you, I would want a bit more personal space than sitting up to someone next to me. So I'd move now if I was you, top tip. You might like being snuggled up to the person next to you. That's fine. But you can sit on the floor, grab a chair. We're going to do 10 minutes of a meditation journey, taking ourselves into the story. So whereas last week we were much more analytical, soap, scripture, observation, application, prayer, when we encountered God's word, we're just going to encounter Jesus in a different kind of way over these next few moments. And we can do this with any story. And this is to be illustrative of how we can do it rather than prescriptive. This is what you must do. All good? And comfy? Good. I want you to picture yourself like Zacchaeus. Just spend a moment in your heart. So we're leaning into the language of our hearts, the language of feeling more than just thinking, language of beauty, creativity, pain, wonder, wounding, leaning into our hearts. Just identify with Zacchaeus. And if you've ever been alone in a crowd, you know that feeling. You know what it's like to be him. Everyone seems to know everybody, and then there's me. That dinner party where you stood alone. That room you walked into and everyone was chatting and it was just, oh, you didn't know where to put yourself. That invitation that everyone got and you didn't. Have you ever felt on the outside? Hurt? Rejected? Feeling guilty, perhaps, full of shame? You know that beneath the surface of your life, there's stuff that, oh, you wish you couldn't see, let alone other people. And so maybe like Zacchaeus, you're a first-class FOMO expert. You're always afraid of missing out. And so you're always on the edge, never truly committing for a fear of what you might miss somewhere else. And so you keep your distance. You keep out the way a little bit. Better to stand back than to push in. Better to keep far away than risk the fear of being rejected. And so there you are up the tree. There's something about Jesus that is just kind of bugging you, getting your attention, and so you're up a tree. And Jesus is coming. Can you picture him in your mind's eye? What do you see as you see Jesus walking down the road with the crowd of disciples, the entourage, the people that he's picked up along the way, bustling and jostling? Everyone trying to catch a glimpse of him, maybe. What do you hear as you see the crowd coming? What do you feel? And then suddenly, as he nears the tree, Jesus stops. And it's like the whole world stops with him. And he looks up, straight at you. No hiding, no ducking and diving, no keeping out of sight. Jesus is looking straight at you. What do you see? How do you feel? It's only for a moment, but it seems to last a lifetime when your eyes lock each other. It's like the whole world has stopped. Everything's gone quiet in that moment, in that instance. And then he calls your name. He calls my name. This Jesus that I've never met, he knows me. He knows my name. If only he knew. Oh, I hope he doesn't know who I really am, but he knows my name. But his eyes, his look, he seems to know everything. In that one word, my name, the way he speaks, it's like he knows it all. I shudder at the thought of him knowing it all. And yet, strangely, there's a peace. An acceptance, it's going to be okay kind of feeling. So listen for a moment. Look for a moment. Look into his eyes and listen as he calls your name. He knows you. However much a stranger he seems to you right now, you're no stranger to him. He knows you. He knows who you are, the hidden bits, the ugly bits, the bits you keep out of sight. But he knows who you truly are, who you were made to be. He knows your potential, your redemption, your perfection. He knows you and delights in you. Let the richness, the depth of that reality touch your soul, that you are known by the Lord of all, and it's okay. You are known by the Lord of all, and it might not all be well, but it will all be well. You're known by the Lord of all, and he is enough. And this Jesus who is in all and through all, this Jesus who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, this Jesus who is the Alpha and the Omega, stopped that day for you. That Jesus stops this day, this moment for you. He's chosen you. He's picked you out from the crowd. Savor the moment. But you can barely take it all in. Jesus is asking to come to your house. The whole crowd is kind of aghast that Jesus should ask you. And everyone's waiting for a response. What will you say? That panic rises. I'm not sure. He'll see the pile of money. If he comes to my house, he'll see what I'm truly like. If he comes to my house, he'll see that I live alone, I have no friends. If he comes to my house, he'll see that I... What will he see? The panic rises. Listen to the anxious whisper of your heart. The worry it creates if Jesus should look into your soul. Whatever those feelings are, let's just acknowledge them. Let's not fight them or run away from them. Let's just name them. And then remember that he knows our name. He knows who we are, yet all that we shall be. Nothing is hidden from him. And so let the panic give way to joy, the joy of acceptance. And suddenly there's excitement. Jesus coming to my house, to my home. Jesus coming to the heart of my life. You begin to climb with a sense of eagerness down the tree. You're ready to lead the way. There's a freedom, a lightness. You can't quite believe how this day is turning out. And with a skip in your step, with joy in your heart, you're on the way. You're almost running now as Jesus and the crowds follow towards your home. The freedom that comes from not having to hide, the joy of being known, the love of being accepted. And then what seems like a flash, you and Jesus are alone in your private place. Alone in your home. Listen in. What does Jesus say to you when you are alone? what Jesus said to Zacchaeus transformed his life? What difference will the words that he speaks to you now make to you? How will you be different because you've met him in this moment? And then Jesus leaves. You want to capture this moment forever. You don't want him to go. This is more than amazing, more than miraculous. But Jesus leaves, but somehow his presence lingers. Physically he's gone, yet the sense that he will always be with you. Like the fragrance of someone that still fills the room. You can almost smell, sense his presence, breathe his presence in, that never leaves you, that's always with you, that will never forsake you, his presence that will be with you to the very end of the age. Breathe it in. Savor it. Enjoy it. Remember it. Allow the beautiful scent of Jesus to impregnate your clothes, your hair, your skin, your inner being, as you allow his presence to fill you afresh. And so we've met with Jesus in the story. But we meet him in our real, ordinary, everyday lives. Zacchaeus' story, his story is my story. And so I sense his presence, not just in that story, in that place, but here in this room right now, his presence here, and I breathe it in, and I hear his voice, and I meet him. And in that meeting him, I am forever changed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, I love you, Lord.
And I lift my voice to worship you, all my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your
Oh man, what I'd love you to do is just stretch, just loosen up, be in the space, and do one of two things. What it's really easy to do is just to leave that space and to just disappear out into our lives. What I'd like to invite you to do is just to capture a couple of things that were significant about your meeting with Jesus that you're going to take with you. So you might remember the way that he called your name. You might remember what he said when you got to the house. You might remember that feeling of climbing down the tree. And in order to take what's there and to make it real and to root it into our lives, one of two things: either tell someone next to you what that is, so you've spoken it out, you've taken ownership over it, or write it down. Off you go.